three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. I'm joined by Andrew Kanyon. Andrew's going to go into the details of where he is and his setup in a second, but just to proclaim at the start of the show that internet issues may arise because we're doing this very, very remotely, so bear with us. But just top of the show, if you like the show, like and subscribe. If you want to buy a couple of marvelous, great handbook on the league, that's in the description, Booktopia, all that good stuff. Andrew Kanyon, say hello for me.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
I'm well.
Coming to you live from location. I am currently situated in Bridgetown, Western Australia. I'm on a hill. I had to leave the house that I'm staying in, get in the car, drive to the top of a hill. I've hotspotted to where I think, so I've got mobile coverage with my phone, into my laptop, which is running our recording software, into my AirPods Pro, which I'm talking to you on. So what could possibly go wrong? Seems like a flawless execution so far.
If Andrew drops, everyone out there, you know why. But we're gonna press on. What are we talking about today? We got a bunch of stuff. Colton Iverson and the Breakers. Adam Ford's press conferences is going to be the big thing. The rookie rules, there was a lot of talk about changing them. Ryan Brokoff, a little bit of creak in the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. Illawarra, we're going to talk about. But firstly, Andrew, where do you want to start?
So much to talk about. First of all, I'll go a few odds and sods before we dig into the topics proper. I just want to say there was a bit of chat on the Twitter about people wanting to get in touch with us and you know, potentially send in some questions, have some alternative voices on the show. I mean, I reckon it's a great idea, but you are way ahead of this one, my friend. You've had your mobile phone set up for, gosh, I don't know.
I've had it for a while.
Has it been? It's been longer than that.
A year and a half, maybe,
Long time. So, look, if you want to send in a message, I say do it, right? Do it.
Here's what I'll say. I'm going to jump in here because here's what I'll say to people. Absolutely. If you've got I think more than a question, me and Andrew don't need that kind of ego stroke. You people out there are smart enough. You can answer your own questions. But I think the better thing to do would be download a free program called Audio Boom. Record yourself in the best quality you can, whether that's with AirPods that Andrew's got, or if you've got a microphone lying around, or go out and buy a Blue Yeti. They're about $100 if you want to have something for your Zoom calls in the future. Lay that audio down. If you send it to me, I can then edit it and make it even crisper and clearer. But yeah, if you've got a thought piece that's, you know, 3, 5, 10 minutes, whatever it is, or, you know, a question and answer that you've got to yourself that you just want to get out there, or something about the league that you just want to bare your soul, by all means, send it in. And I'm very active on Twitter, and you can email me, and I will, if you get me decent audio quality, I can do a lot with it. So yes, Andrew, thanks for bringing that up. Absolutely.
There we go. And look, even if you don't want to download that app, you can even just use the voice recorder on your iPhone. If somebody has an Android phone, I don't know, they probably have something like that. Don't talk to me about Android stuff. I don't know. But yeah, it's easy to record yourself. So send it through the NBL pocketpod@gmail.com.
I think it's NBL Pocket Podcast at Gmail. Yeah, send it on through. But just get in contact, and I'll help you put it all together. Absolutely. I really encourage that sort of thing. The other thing I want to say is, friend of the show, Max Becker, he's in the presses. I saw both press conferences with Cairns and Melbourne, and he was there. And I want to say two things about this. One, I spoke with Max for the podcast, I want to say in late Feb maybe, so a couple of months ago.
It's a good show.
Max knows the league. Max, it's not like, you know, this is some sort of PR stunt. Max is a genuine, watches games, has genuine questions, and listens to the answers. I'm a huge fan of his, and I feel good about it because we spoke and I said, oh, you know what, you should get involved in the press conferences. Absolutely. You got the confidence for it, the capability for it. And I put him in touch with the likes of Nick Johnson and others at the media. I said, here's what you do. And, you know, I'm not taking credit for it. It's his confidence to approach them and ask and receive and take it and get in there. You know, and he's doing it. And I just think I'm very proud that I was a small, the walnut. Isn't that a walnut? No, it's that grows into a great oak. What grows into what? What's the seed of an oak?
Chestnut. Chestnut is what you're thinking of.
Yeah, I think so. That grew into this great oak. So Max Becker, huge fan. Listen to him in the press conferences. You'll hear him chime up from time to time, and he asks his
great job as well. And he took it seriously. Like he wasn't
absolutely.
He wasn't being silly about it. He did a good job. And look, let's not be ageist about it. If the questions being asked are good, the questions are good. Answer the questions.
And you know what? Yeah, I want to give a tip of the cap to Chris Golding as well, because he was in the press conference. You know, Max has a younger sort of voice. You can tell he's sort of in his teens. And Golding got his question, and it was as if he was answering a question from, Liam Santa Maria or Sam Smith or Body Knot. It didn't matter, I got a real tip of the cap to Chris Golding, Grantley Bernard, all those great writers. And he took it and answered it with honesty and earnest and wasn't mucking around. So real tip of the cap to Chris Golding for being, a pro and behaving with dignity. I liked it a lot.
Well done. Good on you, Max.
Yeah, absolutely. What are any other odds and sods?
Another little odds and sods. I am in Bridgetown. I'm here with a friend who's also a dedicated listener and, loves his basketball, hugely involved in basketball still. And he was telling me that he's noticed that whenever you or I bag out a player, they get better. Alternatively, and he sort of named – he named a couple. Like we looked
Iverson
at Moller,
is one. Yeah.
Iverson, Golding. Yeah. Golding, Moller. Cam Glidden.
Yeah. Look, okay. To a degree.
When you bag somebody out, they come good. All right. So I feel like I've got a bit of the homicides about me now.
You know what that's called? That's called the Midas touch, somewhat, kind of. Not really, but let's take it.
Now, one other lesson and point we did discuss is that I had also given big ups to Jesse Wagstaff in his three-point shooting. And that moment that I talked about him shooting 56% from threes, I think he's gone about 0 of 20. So, look, the averages will always win out in the long run. So, sorry, Jesse, if that's on me.
Is that the end of the odds and sods? And if so, what topic do you want to go to first?
What's a good topic? Let's talk you've got the list in front of you. Let's do.
Do you want to go Adam Ford? Oh, you want
Adam
to get the
Adam Ford. No, let's get Adam Ford. Adam
Ford. That's the big news there. Okay.
That was last week's news. So let's do it.
Adam Ford. Do you want to start or you want me to?
You fire away, my friend.
Well, I mean, I watched it. It was very interesting because it's come right after Dan Shamir did it the week before, or maybe 2 weeks ago. And really, it's. What Adam Ford did is only really as good as the outcome. And Dan Shamir's got a great outcome. He said his piece, and then Colton Iverson has stayed in the last two games and he's played really well.
Yeah.
Remains to be seen how this Adam
well
Ford
enough
thing.
To win. No, sorry, not well enough to win Bunnings player of the game, but he's done all right.
He's done all right. So it remains to be seen what the fallout from the Adam Ford, I want to say sort of outburst will be. I jump between agreeing with him and saying this is good and then also thinking this was a weak, whiny whinge. I jump from literally one end of the scale. When I first heard it, I thought it was despicable. And then I kind of saw where he was coming from. And now I kind of sit in the middle, but still towards the end of the scale towards being this was a bad move by him. Where do you sit on it?
Yeah, it's funny. I've had very similar experience. At first I was like, well, what are you doing? Yeah, I've gone back and forth. I think overall I probably lean towards more quiet diplomacy rather than rattling the cage and making a big hoo-ha in public. I think that's the better and proper way to go about these things. But to the point, like he said he'd been doing that for a long time and nothing had changed in his view anyway. So maybe he was left at a point where it's like, well, why not give it a crack? I also reckon that this was a preconceived mission. I'm pretty certain he had the backing of management at this point. He came in armed with stats and numbers, and I think they'd had a bit of a strategic powwow and said, like, yep, go for it. If you get fined, we'll cover you. I just think it was organized.
Yeah.
An
organized hit. It's like Godfather 2. I think also what I want to say is why I say the word despicable and why I look down on Adam Ford initially. And the reason why is because when you take aim at a part-timer who maybe cleared, what, maybe $200 for the game? Maybe less. I don't know. But I wouldn't have thought. Not a rich person,
maybe a bit,
not a powerful person.
Maybe more than that, maybe. But
maybe a bit more. I wouldn't be so sure. You know, so not a lot, not a particularly powerful person, not a particularly well-paid person. In the scheme and the ladder of the NBL and its teams, where does that part-time ref sit? Pretty low, especially compared to Adam Ford. Adam Ford would be right at the top. He's one of nine coaches. He has a job that's occupied by only nine people in the country. So I thought that was, you know... And then I was going to tweet out jokes like, you know, Adam Ford has been fined for striking out at a part-time ref. One of the assistants has been fined for flaming the work experience kid for eating the last Monte Carlo biscuit in the kitchenette. And another assistant has been suspended for flushing the cleaning woman's head down the... You know, I mean, it's picking on some pretty low-order people. And that didn't sit well with me. And the reason why is because punch up, Adam Ford. If you're going to accuse the refs, Michael Allen is the head of the refs. He reffed that game. He can overturn calls. I know it's not the done practice, but he can. He's the crew chief. Yep. You know, that's he's the full-timer. He's the guy who wears it. He's the guy who made what I think was the most egregious call of the day, which was Moller's unsportsmanlike. He watched that tape. He made that call. You know, that's the guy. You know, I thought to single out the part-timer, I thought that was really, I mean, I don't want to say bully tactics, but yeah, probably. You know, I think it could be argued that. And it's also sort of like, he talked about how the refs ref on reputation. Well, I would say there's guys on your team surviving on reputation. And the one is Didi Luzada. And I went through this game, especially the fourth quarter, really closely. And he just bled points to Bryce Cotton. Slacking off on screens, not fighting over screens, you know, a whole bunch of a turnover that started the whole thing was Didi Luzada driving right into a triple team, lost the ball, Cotton got a dunk. That was the first of 8 points in the fourth to, you know, really blow this one out of the water. So when you talk about, you know, surviving on reputation, you know, you want to make sure your house is in order before throwing around a bit of dirt.
Yeah, he's to me as well. I know there's a couple of bad calls in this game, but I'm going to be cautious because, you know, being Perth guy, I don't want to be seen as like another rabid member of the Red Army. Those two calls were terrible, the block and the unsportsmanlike.
You thought that was a real clean block on Casper? I'm not so convinced on that one.
Okay. I mean,
I thought that the Moller unsportsmanlike was just atrocious. But they've called, in fairness, they've called that horrible unsportsmanlike foul for two years now.
It's a bad rule. I don't know, the interpretation of that rule or whatever. It's just a bad rule. But I think, so I'm trying really, so I'm saying that it should have been a foul, not a clean block. Beyond that, I didn't think the game was that badly officiated. Now, maybe, I don't know, to tee off on this particular game, I just was like, I've seen worse games with worse officiating. And why did you choose this game? Was it because this is a long-running bugbear? Like he mentioned, the Perth crowd, the Perth home games get 4 point, whatever, get fouls more.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the point of building a home base as well.
And that's Bryce Cotton. I mean, Bryce Cotton draws the only guy who came close to his foul tally, drawn fouls, was Mello Trimble. You know, Cotton just draws a lot of fouls, and I don't think it's because he gets a particularly favorable whistle. I think he just forces contact because he's so damn quick and he stops on a dime and jumps real high and guys just plow into him all the time. They plow into him because they're riled up where it's like, oh, we're playing Bryce Cotton. Oh, and they end up just charging, you know, shoulder charging him half the time. I really don't see. And, you know, but here's another point I want to make. Everyone's like, oh, the refs, you know, the part-time refs. Well, no one likes the full-time refs either. Michael Allen and Video Vaughn are poked fun at all the time. So the idea of, oh, you got to make the part-timers full-time. Well, we have full-time refs and no one likes them either. So that's not, it's kind of a solution, but not really. But here's what I think.
And when in sport have we ever said, good job, refs, like you've done an excellent job and I can't fault you.
But this is where I think this is all trumped up. And this is why I tell you that the reffing thing, especially with basketball, because basketball, the refereeing is so difficult because it is such interpretation. But you know, the Boomers lose in London and it's because, the FIBA cheated us because they threw that game against Angola. Oh, we got cheated in that game.
Yeah.
Then you fast forward to Rio. Oh, you know, the foul on Patty Mills at the end. Oh, we got cheated again. I'm probably getting these wrong, but you know, then we go to the Chinese World Cup. Oh, you know, effing FIBA. Oh, where's the headquarters for FIBA? Blah, blah, blah. Pissing and moaning again. Then we go to Bendigo. Oh, the ref, oh, New Zealand, there, Melbourne, everyone's got it. Okay, then we go to Perth. Oh, Perth, oh, blah, blah, blah. It's just like the common thread here, because what carried over from London to Rio to China to Bendigo to Perth, the only thing that carries over is the Australian basketball fan, who happened to be some of the most whiny, I'm going at the people listening. Whiny, I'm going to go ahead and say pathetic. Like, just the reffing is not perfect. Rise up. Like, just, you're killing the sport. For me, this constant talk about the refs, it's killing the sport.
Do you hear that clicking? That's 1,000 people unsubscribing from this podcast right now.
I'm sorry. I had to say it. The reffing is what it is. Like, the Wildcats win because they have Bryce Cotton. It's like that line in Catch Me If You Can, like, oh, why do the Yankees always win? Like, oh, because they have Mickey Mantle. It's those damn pinstripes. No, they have Bryce Cotton. They have the best player who's so much better than the second. That's why they win, not because they cheat the refs. It's destroying the game for me a little bit. What do you think? Is it destroying it for you? I'm getting bogged down with it.
You are getting bogged down. It's not destroying it. It's like, look, show me a season where somebody hasn't been upset with the refereeing. You know, like, I don't think there is one. I think every season goes by and we have a whinge. Life goes on and the sports are decided. And at the end of the day, you go, who won the championship? A team won the championship, and you don't talk about the refereeing after that point. So suck it up. Play ball.
Yeah, and I think that needs to be pushed. And that's why Adam Ford doing this, it just feeds that conversation. Just more gasoline. And I'm sure he's frustrated. I can totally sympathize with his frustration. But here's the other thing as well.
He wasn't frustrated when he was an assistant coach in Perth, though, was he?
Yeah, well, that's true. But no, yeah, that's a good point. But he's an assistant. Even if he was, he wouldn't say anything. But the other thing as well, like, oh, you came out in the press conference. There were two media members in the press conference. You know, this wasn't City Hall. This wasn't the Lincoln Memorial. Not, you know, what will it achieve? Next to nothing. You know, there were no follow-up questions. It was a monologue. That's the worst part of it. It was a monologue. It wasn't a dialogue.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that a reporter instigated. I think the question was, what do you think of the game? And then he launched into this 10-minute thing. It wasn't a dialogue with someone like, yeah, you know, this is what I thought. Da, 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 da. It was rehearsed. No. And that again sort of looked, you know, cheap to me. And I the part time thing I really took exception to. And, you know, going back to Lizade, I mean, he really he's a 12th worst shooter in the NBL at 36%, or at least he was before that game. And he plays 30 minutes a game, you know, and what I hate is Jesse Wagstaff misses that layup. You know, we use the word choke, or I certainly use the word choke. You know, people didn't like a player being called out, but they're okay with refs, and especially, you know, Jesse Wagstaff, he's made a lot of money off basketball in his career. He's played 10 years for $100,000. He's probably $1 million off of basketball. This kid's getting a Pepsi, a Coke, and $200, but we're willing to punch down. I just thought it was atrocious.
We should move on.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Illawarra was the other one we wanted to go to. What do you want to say?
Yes. News today. So, Besto out indefinitely again.
Shock horror.
And Harvey, fortunately for everybody involved in the Hawks, is back, because without his offensive production, they are nothing. So really good. I'm really pleased that he's back. But Cam Besto, I mean, look, if you're going to be relying on him, you've made a strategic error. And I don't think that the Hawks went in thinking they were going to be relying on Cam Besto, to be fair. I think what has happened with this team is that Dang Adele has turned out to be a complete dud, and Cam Besto has filled that role. And so what you've got now is suddenly a guy that you didn't think was important is now missing, and who are they going to replace him with? Look, I think really interesting times ahead for the team. Gorgian, what's he going to do? He's going to pull a rabbit out of a hat. But Cam Besto, every time he was on the court this season, he was playing really well.
I totally agree.
I didn't seem to notice anything about what his injury actually is. He's just out indefinitely, which is not a good sign. When it's just a vague.
He's just a banged up kind of guy. That's the way he's always going to be. But What do they do in the interim? I've got a question for you. Is the gorge and fairy dust wearing off?
It is for me. I'm thinking, you look at him coaching the Boomers. I mean, okay, let me put the Boomers aside. He's coaching the Hawks, and his performance is not winning or losing games for the Hawks. It is how well they happen to shoot on a particular night is winning or losing the Hawks games. Nothing to do with Gorgian. And in fact, I'd say maybe he's made some tactical errors. Some interesting timeout calls. And
yeah, I think what I've liked about Gorgian
is a bit funky sometimes.
Going back to the Boomers thing, here's what I do actually like the signs he's had this season going towards the Boomers. He had this team ready and they picked up 4 or 5 wins at the start of the year. They just snapped them up because teams weren't ready. Teams rolled into the season, bad preseason. He had them on the same page. And Dingadel, the exception, but even Dingadel was still kind of, he wasn't doing his own thing. He was just not playing particularly well. But so that I quite like in that respect because, you know, the Boomers in those Olympic tournaments and that, you get the knockout games essentially, you get one chance. So that I quite liked about him. But I didn't like this roster. I think Harvey's amazing. No problems there. Jessup's pretty good, but young and a bit streaky. Like he comes and goes from games. Besto injury prone. But then, you know, that front line, I was never convinced. And I think you're right. They pushed a lot of chips in on Dingadel. And he's just having one of the worst statistical seasons we've seen in the NBL in years. And we've had this question before. Like, what is it with the guy? Is he just not a good player? Is this a personality clash with Gorgian or players on the team? Is it a system clash? I'm leaning towards the first answer of, he's just not, there.
Not that good. Yeah, I think so too. I don't know him at all. Never spoken to him, you know nothing of him. But strikes me as a guy who may be dazzled with athleticism and, you know, a bit of fool's gold there. You see it and you upside. See raw potential.
Yeah.
Right. Tremendous upside potential. There you go. And I think he's been found out. And look, you can't hide in a Gorgian team, can you? Although he's trying to.
Certainly not a regional team.
He just looks like a guy that hasn't and doesn't seem to have the capacity to change or improve. Kind of like, this is how I believe I play basketball and I'm going to keep doing it.
I mean,
even if it's not working.
When you say it hasn't, I mean, we're 20 games in almost. They're 10-9. 10 wins, 9 losses. They're right on the brink. And I remember we had that thing at the start of the year about sentences for each team. My thing was Gorgian's a great coach, but he can't play for them. You know, and AJ Ogilvie's kind of come back to the mean a little bit, not playing poorly, but just kind of come back down to earth a little bit. And, you know, Justin Simon, young pro, coming in and out of games. It's a toughie for him. My question
to
you
teams,
then is,
teams have worked out. You stop Jessup and you stop Harvey and you've won the game. And that's pretty much the recipe for killing the Hawks.
Well, now you can just funnel everything through Dingadel. Like you just can't play him because he's a liability out there. I have a question for you though. Are they better than the Bullets and or the Kings?
I think they're better than the Kings.
Really?
They're more entertaining. The Kings are showing a bit of improvement, I've got to be fair. But I still would probably favour the Hawks over the Kings, particularly in a series. For some reason, I don't even know why.
I also
the bullets are hard now because they've had so many injuries. It's like it's a tough measure, you know.
No Vic Law going forward for them, or you know, conceivably no Vic Law.
How bad is his injury? What is he?
There's something going on there. I smell something. I don't know what it is. They're very secretive. They're very strange. There's a lot of NBA, you know, bubbly. Coming into playoff talk. I don't know. I get a vibe.
But without Vic Law, they're in a world of hurt, even with Lamar back in the thing.
And I mean, the thing with the Hawks is who they got beat. Who'd they lose too badly?
Oh, geez.
I lost by 20 or something. I'll bring it up. And, but they lost without Harvey and Bester. You know, if the Wildcats rolled into Adelaide without Mooney and Bryce, they're taking a loss. So, as much as you've got to get those two on the floor. Oh, they lost to Adelaide. That's right. They lost to Adelaide by 12. Bad loss. Jeez, Adelaide.
Yeah.
Right. Adelaide, so that kind of takes the polish off a bit. But bad look. But yeah, without Harvey and Besto, you're going to lose. But if they get Harvey back, if they had Harvey for that game, he'd score his 20 points and they win.
Yep, they'd win.
Where do you want to go next?
Next, we've got the just a quick one, the quarantine bubble between Australia and New Zealand. Kiwis might get some home games.
Does it change things? Like, is their season now, you know, can they turn it around? They're 17 played, 5 and 12. Done?
It's cooked. It's just a feel good and the chance to make some money. They can sell tickets like crazy and fill up, what is it, Spark Vector? What's the name of their arena again?
Yeah, Spark Arena.
Spark Arena? Yeah. They sell tickets and make some money off of that. And I think it'd be good for everybody involved to actually have some Kiwi games.
A lot of games in
I want to hear, Casey Frank and.
I've missed them. Hugh Bennion.
I love those guys.
Casey Frank and the other gentleman whose name I always forget. But
Mulligan? Is it Andrew Mulligan?
Yeah, Andrew Mulligan sounds that sounds familiar. They're good. They're a really good commentary team. I really dig them. I mean, just New Zealand have played the least amount of games of anyone in the NBL. 17. They're 5-12, as I said. Cairns are 5-16. They've played 21. So they've got four games in hand. You know, they're only sort of I just actually don't like their team. Regardless, I mean, they still have to play on the road. Even if they go home for some New Zealand games, still got to play on the road.
Yeah.
And I haven't looked at their schedule, but I don't think they had a particularly difficult run to this point. I don't remember. I mean, they lost to Adelaide a bunch. You know, they lost to Brisbane. They haven't really played Perth that much. They played Melbourne a couple of times. So, you know, it's not like they've got an easy run coming home. Talk to me about Colton Iverson. Had two big games, one in the absence of Matt Hodgson in Brisbane. And apparently Harry Froling was really ill and he grabbed the 20 rebounds that night. And then he had this big night against who? South East Melbourne. In a loss.
Yep.
What did you think? Like, he didn't get Bunnings Player of the Game. That was obviously a bit strange. I think we can both agree on that and move on.
Yeah, yeah.
But, is he a good? Is he a stud import? Where are you at with him?
He's not a stud. He misses too many layups to be a stud.
I agree.
He's a good, serviceable big body. And I think what showed up, though, I mean, look at the teams he was up against. You know, so you said it, Hodgson out in Brisbane, and then up against Ben Moore and Yanni Wetzel. They're not huge bodies.
And Yanni gave him the business. Yeah. Yanni had 18 and 10 or something, 6 offensive rebounds. Well, I wasn't that impressed. I thought the numbers were skewed. I wasn't that I thought he had a good game, obviously, but I wasn't like, oh, he's the secret to winning basketball in the NBL. I mean, he had good stats in a loss, and he could give you something, but I'm not, you know, would you rather have him or Mooney? Obvious answer. Well, you know?
Mooney. Yeah, yeah. It goes without saying, I think. I think Iverson's fine in a team that has enough scoring around him. And that's what they tried to build, obviously, with the Websters and what have you. But I think, they've just got that problem that he's such a big unit. And the Rob Lowe alternative, where you could switch and mix, that would have been excellent. Because he's Rob Lowe, pick and pop, you know.
And, that combination of the two, that would have been a nice touch, but you know, they're without him now. But I just saw Colton Iverson, you know, didn't get in foul trouble because he just played in the drops and you know, just sat back in the keyway and guys were just shooting over the top and a little bit too, kind of dancing around him. I didn't see this as a great, I saw it as a good game from him and the stats shoot off the screen, but no one else was going for rebounds from New Zealand. So,
no, and there was a couple where he quickly sucked them. You know, there was a guard there about to snaffle it and. No, they left it for Colton to grab. Bit of padding going on there.
I did notice that. I feel like we're taking shots at this guy. I'm not saying he's not a good player, but just the script seems to have flipped all of a sudden where it's like, oh, he's a stud. We all knew it. I'm like, bottom line is this. Really good imports win games. And they're 5-12.
Yeah.
You know, and he's been there the whole time. Yep. And he wasn't able to get on the court. This has been the problem with the Breakers. They had an interrupted preseason. Patterson and he both came in, obviously Patterson worse shape, Colton Iverson not quite as good. And you know, as a result, he had games where he played 8 minutes, didn't start. You know, that's no one's fault but his. You know, froze out. Getting run around. It was not a good look. So, and again, like two games. All right, cool. He's played two good games of 17. Okay, you know, halfway.
Yeah,
that's now you just got to do it repeatedly in some wins, and then my skirt will get blown up. Where do you want to go next?
I've only got one thing left on my list. I don't know, what have you got?
Mine. Ryan Brokhoff, just while we're on the South East Melbourne.
Oh, that's right, Brokhoff, yes.
26 points, 7 from the outside. I just want to make this point. 7 games, everyone out there. 7 games is a quarter of a normal NBL season. People are like, oh, Brokhoff, not very good. I say, just give him a quarter of the season. You know, think of this is the same as a job. You know, put basketball aside, put that celebrity to the side. Essentially, the Ryan Brokhoff joining this team could be like, man starts work at new office, you know, as they're 3 weeks into a major project. You know, there's going to be the first couple of days, you're going to be like, who's this Melvin? He has no idea. And then he starts to pick it up after a week or two. Same with basketball. Give these guys a quarter of the season, which is about 7, 8, 9 games. You know, this season's a bit different because it's longer. But just that little bit of time. And after that, then let's start having the conversation. But it was very premature to start rubbishing Ryan Brokhoff.
I think I might have rubbished him a little bit. So I've got egg on my face somewhat.
7 games.
In my defense, he scored like 26 or something. But then the game after that, he was back to, what was it, 6 points or something. I think he's the kind of guy you ride. I guess maybe I'm figuring this out. He's the kind of guy you ride him when he's hot. And if he's not, you just live with it. And
well, you shoot elsewhere. It. You know, that's when you don't get at the basket and don't, you know, create so much for yourself. You know, that's how it's going to go. But just on that, just give him a bit of time. Okay. What did I have here? The rookie rules. There was talk about changing the eligibility for rookie of the year.
Yep. The John Mooney argument.
Yeah, the John Mooney argument. Just before we go into that, actually, I want to go back to Colton Iverson and just say, like, you know, people really took pot shots at Sean Long last year, like stat chasing kind of guy. His numbers are like Colton Iverson's, but they actually won games. You know what I mean? They won games. And for all of Sean Long's faults.
You've got to let it go, man. Sean Long's not coming back.
I might cut that bit out. Let's go Rookie of the Year. So, there was talk about changing the Rookie of the Year awards. And it's an interesting conversation. Where do you sit on it?
The rules are stupid. They're so convoluted. Mm. The fact that nobody can figure out who a rookie is, I think just says to you, this is too hard. But if a guy's playing his first professional season, he's a rookie. That's all you need to know.
I agree. I think change it.
Why are we making it so hard?
Mm.
What are we protecting ourselves against?
Well, it's this.
Like, that's.
I'm going to use a word that's a little bit contentious, but I think it's apt. Cuck. Like the league's a bit of a. The league is in a little bit, and this is written into the bylaws. I talked about this way, way back when I had that the legal finding in the Calvin Henderson case in the 36ers, where he was claiming that because he was American import and they import restrictions, whatever. And in that finding, it was like, well, you know, the NBL has these import restrictions to help the boomers flourish, right? Well, that's changed. That doesn't the boomers and the NBL are drifting further and further apart. I know the coaches, you know, Gordon's in the league, but most of the talent from that. On the boomers team will be from the NBA and Europe almost exclusively. Yep. You know, I doubt Creek makes it now. Golding might just sneak in there. Probably, maybe not. I don't know. So, and when I say cuck, like that's why the Rookie of the Year has this preservation on it. Oh, it's got to be an Australian player because, you know, we're trying to mature boomers talent.
It's a protection racket for the Aussies.
Yeah, it's a protectionist. And I just don't, at this point, with Larry Kesselman, the sort of owner he appears to be, he's very much this is a league, this is a business, it's an entertainment product. I don't, you know, what have the boomers done for him lately? So maybe it will change. But I want to make one point. Mooney's having a great year. And obviously these talks come up now, but I just want to say one thing. What have I told you, Andrew, that a player were to graduate college and come to the NBL and lead the NBL in scoring in his first pro year? Do you think that would generate some Rookie of the Year buzz about changing the rules?
Lead the league scoring. Yeah.
Lead the league in scoring. I think so. That did happen with Mello Trimble in NBL 19. Remember Mello Trimble? Studied at the University of Maryland, NBA prospect, draft prospect, made a mistake lingering in college, came to the NBL, tore the league apart at 23 years old, and then was run out of the league and into the welcoming and blossoming arms of the second best league in the world, the Spanish ACB. He's currently averaging 18 points per game on good percentages. Do you remember him?
Vaguely, yeah.
Do you remember when we got the chance to watch him in the flesh and not so much anymore? My point is this. Mooney.
Yeah.
Big.
You're going to say it, aren't you?
What am I going to say?
You're going to say he's a white guy.
I'm just saying. I mean, he is white. Look at him. I've seen white men. Whereas Mel Trimble, not so much. And you know they're having different seasons. I'm not standing here and saying that Mooney's not better than Trimble. Of course, he's having a better season. But you know, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Just saying. The conversation was never raised. I didn't even realize that he was a rookie coming out.
22 or 3 years old in that.
I knew he was
year
young, but didn't sort of tweak ever really that he was a rookie. And yeah. You make a fair point. Very valid. The conversation
Putting aside the white and not white, black, putting that aside, I think the bigger reason was he played a style that was unbefitting the norm and something that bristles the Australian basketball establishment's nerves. Scoring point guards, small scoring guys who shoot and go to the basket. You know, the vein of basketball fans is very much that black and white footage. Socks up to the knees, you know, point guard's meant to come down, throw up a fist, run a play. And that's more than anything, racial or anything like that. I think that was the issue with Melo Trimble. People just didn't, that just didn't sit well with people. They want the Damian Martin point guard, you know, the setup point guard.
Which is weird because, I mean, you think about like guys back in the day, like Cal Bruton, who came in, diminutive point guard, who lit it up, you know, like.
Like an Al Green, I think. I don't know how tall he was, but he was.
Pretty small.
In a bit of a tangent, isn't it amazing that the Taipans are kind of having a similar year to that year? Getting off to a really bad start. You know, I think that team lost, like, won its first game and then lost 9 in a row. They're kind of having a mirror season that they had there. The Taipans are now, 5-14. And that's not far off where the Melo Trimble NBL 19 Taipans were heading. But, you know, there's not the
I'm
same
just
level of
talk. Internet here.
You're dropping.
Hang on. Let me reposition.
This is what we have to deal with.
Moving. There we go. Moving the phone. All right. Okay. Hang on. There we go. That might be better now.
What I was saying
was.
I hope so. What I was saying was, you know, Trimble had that year and Machado's having a similar, but there's no talk about, you know, Machado being a selfish kind of player. And I'm just saying.
Yeah, okay.
Plus the Wildcats rule the world, you know. The Wildcats do rule the world. Taipans basketball, it doesn't make it. But if it's John Mooney, the Wildcats, it gets traction. Yeah. Trimble with the Taipans doesn't get traction.
That is true.
But yeah, I'm not taking shots at people who have thrown out this idea of changing the rule. I don't want it to sound like that. Yep. But I'm just throwing out a little something for thought. What else?
I got one more topic that I want to. It's not my topic. It was suggested to us on Twitter by @Shorno_bro. Shorno Bro asked us, who has the ugliest jump shot in the league?
Wow. I get this candidates. Let's go one by one. You go first to name a candidate and then I'll give mine.
I put three down. So I'm going to go from third, to
least to most. Yep.
Okay, so coming in near the bronze medal is Majuk Deng.
Oh, he's on my list. Yeah. Yep. He's on my list for sure. He's this weird staggered action.
Sort of like a weird sort of hand flick.
Catapult type. Not a fan.
Yeah. Yep.
Majuk Deng for sure.
Number three. Not seeing enough of it. You know, he's obviously injured, so don't get to see it in
effective.
All his glory every week at the moment.
I think wasn't the question ugliest but effective jump shots?
I don't know. I just wrote down ugliest jump shot.
Either or. So, who you got second?
And that little shimmy he does on the free throw line is just dumb. So,
a lot of guys do that now.
I'm too white to try the shimmy. If I tried the shimmy, it'd look like I was having an epileptic fit.
Yeah, we'd have to get the silver spoon on your tongue.
Who's your third place? Do you have a third place winner?
Wow. No, but Majuk Deng was my third. I'm just thinking who I've got. I'll go second.
Okay.
I kind of want to say Mirko Jeric, but I don't find that ugly. I think there's a certain.
I find it attractive.
It's a certain aesthetic grace. Yeah. I'm going to leave him off, but I think a lot of people might put him on there. Mooney's kind of straightened out that hitch. I haven't – it was really bad in the preseason, and it doesn't seem to be there anymore, or certainly not as pronounced. So
I think definitely working on that.
Name through him. I'm going to throw out a name, and I think this is probably the number one, but Dave Barlow of Melbourne United. He's got this kind of fling action. It's a funky shot.
Catapulty push shot like, almost, isn't
it's
it?
It's like skee ball. From the hip? It's like – ski ball out from his waist. Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, that is an ugly shot. In fact, give away the game a little bit. I've actually got David Barlow as my gold medal winner.
I want to know. It's I want to know who you got it to. Yeah,
number two. I've gone with Emmett Nahr.
Okay. Okay. He very, very seldom get to see it. It's like a shooting star when you know, it's always bright and beautiful when it goes off.
He sort of puts his feet quite close together and kind of. Again, a bit more of a push shot, but with an action that I always think, oh, poor little guy, he's not going to make the distance. It's like watching an under eights player try and shoot a three-pointer. It's just like, oh, come on, man. Just, I know it's a big ball. You know, it must be hard for you to throw it that far. So, yeah, Emmett Nahr, just a weird kind of – and it, when it goes in, it never seems to go in convincingly. It kind of always bobbles down, I feel. Emmett Nahr for my silver medal in ugly jump shot.
I agree with that list. I think Barlow, then Nahr, then Majuk Deng. Is there any honourable mentions?
There's some bad shooters, but technically look okay. Yeah,
the style's okay.
Like even Craig Moller, his jump shot isn't greatly effective, but technically it's okay.
No complaints. No, I think we've got a solid list there. I actually got a question for you. Where this NBL season is taking place during the AFL season, the NRL season, what else is on? All that other stuff. Those two being the big ones. How have you found? Have you found the league's taken a hit? I'll just give away my own answer. I think it has really badly. But what do you think?
No, I think it has definitely on the East Coast.
Brutal.
Yeah. Over here, somehow, the Wildcats managed to survive the Dockers-Eagles onslaught. It definitely hurts the league massively. I think the general level of awareness.
Yeah, I was divided about whether this was a summer or winter league. There is now absolutely no doubt in my mind that the NBL is a summer sport. I feel foolish for even considering that it could return to winter. Am I being too strong?
I think you're probably right. And I think you still get a lot of lower level leagues being, playing at this time of year. Yeah. Mm. And I think that's okay. So you have them participate. You have the participation during the winter. And then you have the watching of the professional league in the summer. All the lower levels can play in wintertime, but just leave the pros to summer and let them beat cricket.
No, I agree. I just found the traction in the papers, the buzz. It's just not – it's nowhere near as good. And the crowds, like going back to – now let's talk a little bit about Creek. I mean, we didn't see him playing this season. He's back. We'd heard rumblings about this before it kind of got released. We were very surprised to hear the news. Getting booed. Got booed by the Illawarra faithful.
He did.
I mean, we're not – I don't think – I'm answer for you, but I don't think you would be surprised by that. But were you kind of hurt or hurt on his behalf?
I actually thought bravo.
Wow.
Because I think with the amount of doubt and uncertainty surrounding him and the – Maybe they shouldn't have been booing Creek. Maybe they should have been booing the NBL because the NBL has been wishy-washy on this. And look, if they have reasons, they're not sharing them with us. And so you can only take it on face value. First of all, he wasn't allowed to play. All of a sudden, he is. What's changed? Nothing as far as the average man on the street can see. So boo league, boo Creek because he's the proxy for the league's decision.
Here's the one thing I'll say. And, I don't think a lot of people could sort of refute what you said there, but I will say that there's degrees to this. Like, I don't even want to say the words because it's so contentious, but you know, there's a big difference between criminal and crime to crime. You know, things differ so much one to one, and you know, you can't just sort of tar everyone with the same brush. And I think, you know, you got to take everything on its particulars and its specifics. And you know, this is not Creek, the domestic abuser. This is Mitch Creek and his circumstances, whatever they may be. And I don't know. I mean, people are allowed to do whatever they want. You want to boo, boo. I'm not, you know, I'm not some sort of Florence Nightingale. Ne'er do well. You know, people can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And I certainly wasn't surprised by it. Wasn't hurt by it. I just thought, okay, that's what's happening. It's a weird look.
I don't think no good can come of this anyway. You know, it's just been it's really tarnished the league. I think it's really unfortunate because it's taking us away from stuff on the court at this point. Mm. And how long is this going to keep going on for? I mean,
yeah,
is it going to be a decision?
Well, you know, piece of string.
Still a month away or something. So
one thing I will say
it's just yucky.
Yeah. Oh, let's move on from that. I just want to say as well though that Illawarra faithful. All 2,600 of them were at that game in a stadium that's small. Yeah. In a stadium that's still small but can hold 6,000 for basketball. You know, yep. So all that restore the name, we love the club. I mean, you don't attend the games.
Yeah, wasn't it like we'd sold 4,000 tickets?
Yeah,
to
they'd obviously sold. Yeah, they'd sold a big sack of them to like, you know, 500 seats to a sponsor.
Air quotes. Sold,
sold, yeah, you know. So, yeah. Air quotes, sold.
Come on, Illawarra.
You know, I was upset to see that.
What do we call you?
2,600. And that's state league stuff. Sorry to rag on the state league and the part-timers again, but 2,600, come on, Illawarra. What are you playing at, you know? Yeah. Put the name back. I say put it back. More like go to the game. How about that?
Look, I've got a friend who lives in Wollongong. He's not a basketball guy at all, so he couldn't care less. But he did tell me how much they charge for a ticket in Wollongong, and it was something ridiculous, like $20 or something stupid for it was really cheap, and it just made me think, like you would pay in Perth $20 ticket that might get you into the stadium to watch it on one of the monitors in the concourse.
Yeah, right.
You know, like it's so cheap. Guys, go there and watch a game. Go watch, when Bryce Cotton comes to town, go watch him.
That's a good, that's cheap. A hot ticket. That's a hot ticket. Yeah, totally. Like, I have my worries about Illawarra. I mean, I didn't have them in the four to begin with. But the question is, who's going to kind of take their place? Are they in the four at the minute?
Mm.
I think they are. It's Sydney in the fourth place. I think the league is going to, the table is going to stay like this. Perth is first. That they might switch Melbourne and Perth. I haven't seen their schedules. Southeast Melbourne and Sydney. I think that four is who's getting through. I think Illawarra are going to miss out. I think Brisbane are going to miss out. Yeah. I think there's a little bit of they've given up with the injuries. They're getting a bit over the season. Brisbane. I don't.
Yeah, and I would agree funnily with enough, that. I think it comes down to.
And it's kind of the same point in the season that the 36ers of last season kind of pulled the pin. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Just say, Adelaide, New Zealand, Cairns. They're fighting it out for the bottom. So. They're going there. I think we're pretty much done here, Andrew. I'm just going through my notes. I don't think we've got really anything else.
I think so.
I want to say one thing.
To
end on.
Yeah.
We were talking about Adam Ford before and kind of punching up and, you know, where are we trending? Like, it's funny to me that this is what I'll say. And when I talk about punching down from Adam Ford, you've got Liam Santamaria, right, who's he's the guy at the minute. He writes for the website. He writes the best stuff. He's the most learned about the game. He's in the commentary. But yet it seems like Felix von Hoff, and we like Felix, the host of Trash Talk, he's the guy who gets all the pot shots from the players. Now, I know he's a younger guy. He's kind of more, you know, on their level. He's LinkedIn. Maybe he attracts that because it's – but, you know, the show's called Trash Talk. And people are like taking shots. Oh, it's not very independent. It's like the show is called Trash Talk. It's trash talk. You know, they're just talking trash. So, and I'm just like, in the same way that Adam Ford took a swing at the part timers, man. Liam Santamaria is right there. He puts out a column every week called Studs, and duds. He's calling people a dud, and I have no problem with it. I think it's great. It's a great article. I read it every single week. Yep. And he is there ready. And people don't – I want to see Liam Samaria, like, you know, a coach kind of guy, and him give that retort. He's – they're afraid of him, and they're afraid of people like him. Like, there's Boddy. Boddy's right there. Boddy will bite your face off. And yet it's directed at Felix von Hoff or Johnny Jenny such and such on the socials. That bugs me a lot. Yeah. I want to see Liam Samaria tested respectfully and, you know, gentlemanly, but tested. That's what I want to say as well. Have you got one more thing? Are you going to talk about this homicide Connor Henry thing? Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. So, Connor Henry hadn't tweeted in goodness knows how long. Hundreds of days, I think it might have been.
And then just reactivated the count after the win.
And says, oh, you like this? How about, because obviously Homicide had teed off about the Brandon Paul not being in the starting five. Connor Henry just quietly says, mate, if you want to know about how team works, give me a call.
What do you think?
The phone's always at the ready. I think, like, I'm sorry, Connor Henry, you still suck as a coach and you still should get called out. And don't come, like, whinging about things that are being said when everybody in the country was saying it. Like, come on. If you had lost that game, would you have gotten on Twitter and called that back out? No, you wouldn't have. So either keep it up, keep the Twitter account active and keep talking, or just respectfully ignore it.
I mean, I liked it. You know, like, any conversation is good conversation. He was pretty respectful. You know, it wasn't like he was just like, you're trash, poo-poo head.
No,
it was respectful. So, and, you know, Homicide's a big guy. Homicide's, you know, he's a man. He can take it, you know.
But I wish Henry had left his number. He didn't actually divulge his number because I wanted to ring him and find out what the strategy was.
36ers, I would call that number. I tell you what, we'll try and get in touch with him because that would
I'd
be
love to know.
I think they're nitpicking as well with Connor, where he was like, oh, you know, Brandon Paul issue. Like, the Brandon Paul issue is one of many great swings of inconsistency within that team. The whole rotation's gone crazy and who he plays and whatever. Brandon Paul's just a wedge of that pizza, slice of that pizza. Plenty of slices to go around.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of questions. Plenty of questions still to be asked.
Anyway, I think we've come to the end.
I think so. That's about 50-odd minutes.
Yep, perfect.
From, I can tell you that the Bridgetown weather's still pleasant. The sun's starting to set over the hills.
Oh, my goodness.
It's been wonderful talking to you.
It has been. Oh, likewise, Andrew. And I'll be down in Melbourne this week. I might poke around, see if I can wrangle something down there. We'll see. Fingers crossed.
Catch up with Felix von Hoff.
Maybe. Take a pot shot at him. Talk some trash. Anyway, thanks very much, everyone, for listening. Rate, subscribe, blah, blah, blah. But more importantly, if you got something to say, be like our friend of the program, Max Becker. Speak your truth. Yep. Put it on a record. Send it to us. We're more than happy to help you out. Absolutely.
Definitely.
Three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous. From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish. The old-fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come.